Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. I'm Jane Coffendaffer. I am coming to you live from Arkansas. So that's where we're at today. We're going to be discussing, of course, Nancy Guthrie. I'm actually going to be heading to a wedding. So you...
For harassing the Guthrie family?
So you will have to forgive my attire. I'm not in my normal modest business attire today because as soon as I get off this live, I'm going to be going to this wedding, which I'm very excited about. Thanks for sharing your 4th of July here with us today. I wanted to touch on a couple of things. Of course, first, I wanted to wish everyone a very happy 4th of July. And next, I wanted to talk about something before we get into the crux of the show, which is Derek Colella, the plea. I really want to lay out what happened with this. It's kind of odd. I wasn't necessarily planning on doing a show until yesterday. Actually, yesterday and the day before yesterday, when I saw kind of all the misinformation running around, I thought it would be really good to just do a quick show on how it works, the behind the scenes, plea deals, what's going to happen, blah, blah, blah. And what he did, even that is definitely, I've seen all sorts of things. So we're going to set the record straight today. But before we get into that, I just had to comment on Taylor Swift. And if you'll hold 1 minute, I've got to get my notes. I realize I left them over here. So apologies. Get my notes, got on my fancy cocktail dress that I wear about once every 7 years, the same one every time. All right, so I just had to comment about this, and this is Taylor Swift. Now, don't leave if you don't like Taylor Swift. The show isn't on Taylor Swift, but I just want to say that this is a woman, Time Magazine Person of the Year. She is worth so much, billions, I believe, because of her ingenuity, not getting caught up in the drugs, having all that talent, doing everything she's done. And this is just how I feel about women. I have so much respect for women who are successful. If you're successful and you do it honestly and you do it kindly and you do it well, I just have so much respect for her. So I'm just going to say off the top, I respect her. Obviously, I like Travis Kelce because he plays for the Chiefs. I like the Chiefs. I like the Cowboys. Okay. A lot of people are probably going, Jen, I don't care about Chiefs, Cowboys, or football. We are going to get back to true crime. But this was a big deal. They rented out Madison Square Garden. This cost millions. But this isn't where I'm going with this. What I really wanted to talk about was what they did. Obviously, their wedding cost millions. I still want to know what happened to these little black boxes. Can everybody hear me? Oh, okay. Good. I think everybody can. All right. That they gave out. I mean, this was a multi-million dollar affair. I've been to several weddings this year, and I can tell you they're spending $150,000 to $200,000 a year, the weddings I've gone to. So this is amazing, the amount of money. It was multi-millions. In fact, I believe, and I could be wrong, I believe that they spent $26 million. I don't know if they did. I'm just telling you where I get that from. And I always call it out when it's just my opinion. But the fact that they gave, and I believe the number, I believe I have it right, correct me wrong in chat, but I believe it's $26 million that they gave to charity. And I just wanted to go over some of these charities. You can see that what they're focusing on is hunger, feeding the hunger. And they actually wanted to give back to the communities that have given so much to them. Los Angeles, New York, Rhode Island, Kansas City, Nashville, I hope I didn't leave anything out, Pennsylvania, Cleveland. Those are the areas that they gave to you. And I think I said New York City, but in case I didn't, I'll say it again, New York City. And these charities, they gave 26 million, everyone. 26 million. I realize they are worth so much money, billions. When you have billions, so what if you give 10% of your money? But just think how many of us give 10% of our money when we got married. And I don't know if it's 10%. I think that's probably, it's probably way less than 10%. But 26 million is a lot of money, and they didn't have to do it. And I just thought it was interesting when I really looked into the charities they're giving to. They clearly, one of their biggest focuses on giving to the hungry, especially children, but adults too, throughout these cities, that a huge bulk of this money went to food pantries and to feeding the hungry and to grocery areas where you can sort of go in when you don't have money and shop with dignity, if you will, so you can get the money you need to feed your family. And I just thought this was really touching because I was very curious where they gave their money to. I'm going to bring up a little clip of somebody that's going to talk about where they gave $2 million to.
That you two are making a donation of $2 million to my Imagination Library. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm blown away and overjoyed with that gratitude. Now, it's evident that you two have made giving back a key part of your life. So, hey, when you have your firstborn, can I have it? Because that is going to be one special baby. You know, the mission of the Dollywood Foundation is to dream more, care more, learn more, and be more. And thank you again for your very generous gift. And we'll continue that mission, even in bigger ways now with your money. So thank you, and know that I will always love you. Mwah.
Another very successful woman that I really respect everything that she accomplished, her long marriage through it all, just everything. And listen, I know people have trouble because, oh, politics here, politics there. I don't get into politics. I get into certain conversations about decisions that are made concerning crime. And some people can view that as politics. I don't view it as politics. But nevertheless, I just wanted to run over a few more. So she gave to that, to Dolly's, that they basically find children who are of no means and they send them books until they're grown. And that's pretty cool, I think, that they're worried about the literacy in this country. Sorry. And so that I thought was really, really kind of them to send to that too. A couple of their others, and I thought this was really cool. One was with Paisley. I just don't know names of famous people or singers. Brad Paisley. I think his name is Brad Paisley. I don't know his music. I know he's country. I know my kids love him. My husband, that they know the names and all of that. I'm sorry, I don't. But what is really cool is he has apparently they basically help kids with music that ordinarily wouldn't otherwise be able to do that. And she gave, I should say both of them, they're married, although they signed a prenup. Anyway, they gave to one of these charities that actually helps promote singing and music, several charities. I think there were three different ones. I'm not going to list them all out. They gave just so many. I would do the whole show on them, but I just wanted to do general categories. So hunger by far the most, trying to resolve hunger issues and give toward that in all these different cities. And then literacy through Dolly Parton's, and then music. And there was one other that I wanted to, two others. Animals. Everyone knows who follows me. I'm a huge animal advocate, if you will. It just is sickening what people due to animals. Animals are so innocent. They don't have a chance. They're children, elderly animals, people who do horrible things to them are just, it's unforgivable. And she actually gave to different organizations that help curb animal cruelty, that's their mission. And I respect that so much. I was thinking, if I had billions of dollars to give, or I should say millions, worth billions, where would I give? And I thought, geez, she just hit on so many that really hit home with me. Maybe it hits home with you, but nevertheless, I thought that was great. And then finally, I thought it was great that she gave to the New York City widows from fire, from police, you know, those widow organizations, because truly, not always, but often in those relationships, the man not only was the breadwinner, but the sole breadwinner. And the women have children. They don't necessarily have an education, a job, plus they're caring for these children. And they're just all of a sudden widowed because their husbands gave back to the community. So I love that charity too. All right, everyone. I just had to touch base because, of course, some of the biggest news was her getting married to Travis. And again, my hat goes off to her for her successes and to both of them for their huge charitable donations. All right, let's get back into some true crime. We're going to be, of course, talking still again today about Nancy Guthrie. And specifically, I wanted to get into Derek Colella. You know, it's so funny how you go on to social media, you know, you look at things. Mainstream media, for the most part, gets it correct, for the most part. But it cracks me up, these tangents that people go on. For instance, people really thought, oh, you know, this guy had all this information probably and going to break the case wide open. And that's why they pled him. And I think the reason that people maybe thought that is, I thought maybe it's just not understanding the federal system and plea deals and how they come about. So I just want to touch on that really quick. So essentially, as many of you know, Derek Colella pled guilty to two federal violations in a Tucson federal courthouse. All right. So he pleads guilty to harassment charges. And according to the plea deal, he is supposed to get 5 years probation served concurrently. So there's two ways that a person can be sentenced. They can get concurrent and they can get consecutive. So consecutive would have been 5 years on 5 years. In other words, 5 years for each count, and they would have been stacked. But that isn't what the judge, at least in this plea agreement, again, he's not going to be sentenced till September. I really do believe I need to do a better job sometimes in my writing, because, and I know you guys have probably experienced this with yourselves, you mean this message and another message is received. It recently happened also in the case of the 16 children, that horrific case where I believe there might be more than one mother, not meaning a mother from outside, but meaning a mother from their own children. So I use the word mother to mean if you birth a child, you are a mother by definition. So nevertheless, that was kind of misunderstood. And in this case, to not tangent too much, but in this case, there's been a lot of misunderstanding with him. So essentially, this plea agreement, and federal plea agreements are pretty much rock solid, meaning you're not going to see this being you're not going to see this changing. You're not going to see somebody coming in and saying, no, we're not going to do this at the, you know, right before sentencing. As long as he goes to his rehabilitation, I should have brought that up. He's supposed to do rehab. as long as he does his rehab and as long as he stays within the lines, he will likely get the sentence that has been discussed. And that is 5 years concurrent. So only 5 years, not 10 years, for these two harassment charges. So they not only pled him down from what they could have charged. In my opinion, this is an absolute travesty of justice, this plea agreement. And I'm going to say why.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It sets an absolute horrible example for everyone else thinking about extorting every other case. All of these other cases that we work so, when I say we, the government works so hard on to try to find these individuals who extort these families. And really this, so they charged him with harassment. What he did, I think many of you know, is he wrote a note. I said wrote a note. It's a text, but it's, you know, note, syntax here. He wrote a text, if you will, and sent it to both Annie Guthrie, the daughter of Nancy Guthrie, and her husband, Tommaso Cioni, which he found, we all talked about this early, this is easily found information in public data, right on directories, I think, in this particular case. So easily found the number, and he's an idiot. And he did this hoping to get Bitcoin. Bitcoin, again, is kind of something that everybody is throwing out there that's in the ransom world. I've talked about the huge numbers from 2023, 1.2 billion paid in ransom with Bitcoin and 800 plus million in 24 and 800 plus million in what's been calculated in 2025. So this is how ransoms are being paid. This is the new future. I'm not going to say, I mean, Bitcoin experts and cryptocurrency experts will tell you this is like the credit card was years ago, where all of our grandparents and my parents said, I'm never going to use plastic. I'm not going to let the government trace me. They're going to know everything about my banking information, my social security number, my addresses. It's going to be everywhere. And they were right. You know, and I know many of your parents. I know my parents. Now, I still don't have even a bank card. I do use credit cards all the time. I love it because it tracks exactly where I go, what I spend and everything. So I prefer that. But I totally get what they were saying anyway. They say cryptocurrency because it's so much safer. Once it goes in, it can't be taken out other than if you have these particular codes. You can't go in and hack somebody's, you know, the systems that the wiring. So for that reason, they say it's so much safer and that this is our future. I don't know on that global scale. I certainly wouldn't be surprised. But I tell you what, I 100% believe it when it comes to ransom, because it comes in, they can instantly take it out. And it's very, very, very difficult to trace because you can send it to all these different wallets, which are accounts. And it's just very difficult. And then finally it comes out, you have to find that. So from what I'm understanding, and we had an amazing Bitcoin expert on twice, he tells us it's tough to trace, not impossible, but tough. So Mr. Colella decides to do this. He's easily caught because he didn't use bogus devices. He used devices that led right back to him. So this was a easy case for the FBI. And I want to pony off of that, if you will. We call it ponying. I bet you guys didn't know that. In the Bureau, an example, we call a pony. I know it sounds odd, but when we need an example of a search warrant, as an example that somebody else has done, we will go to their desk, or somebody who's just done one, and say, hey, can I get that pony? I know, it's weird. You guys probably didn't know that. Nevertheless, that's why I say ponied off of. But nevertheless, he sends these out in these text messages. He gets caught, and you're not going to believe this. For those of you who don't know, he was literally out the next day. They set his bond after doing this arrest for only $20,000, which meant $2,000 to a bail bondsman. That's it. For what he did to Annie and Tommaso and the whole family, really. And so we know there are other notes, right? I call them the TMZ 12. Those are the 12 notes that are extortion notes, right? That person isn't saying he kidnapped somebody and give me the money and I will give the person back. He is saying he's extorting. He's saying, listen, if you pay me, I will give you this information, which is, you know, now we're the cell phone and it has pictures. It's all baloney garbage. That's my opinion. I don't think any of the TMZ 12 notes are legitimate. And quite frankly, even though I used to say, put in the Bitcoin, actually, he didn't even want to hold Bitcoin. This guy was down to a half a Bitcoin. Put a half a Bitcoin in it, just find him. Most likely he's going to be overseas. And now with this, I wouldn't spend 10 cents on it, because if they're able to find them, if they're not overseas, which they likely are, if they're not, they're going to pull them in and they're going to be out the next day. And then they're going to get a hand slap of 5 years probation, because the precedent has been set. And this doesn't only affect Nancy Guthrie's case. This affects every case, all the missing cases that we have, that this happens all the time. I know we've talked about it a little bit. News Nation did a really good special on it. This happens all the time, where literally these pieces of crap look for notification of missing, on missing posters. They get a hold of the family. They try to give them hope. And say, you know, we know where your child is. We know what happened. And just to extort money out of them. What does this say for all of those cases? So I'm really sickened by this case, because I realize the far outreaching effects of a ruling like this. I know he's not officially, it's September when he is officially sentenced. But this is the writing on the wall, unless he really messes up. I want to say, too, which you guys might not know, but he, prior to pleading guilty, when he was out on bond, he tested positive for meth. I don't know if y'all know this, but when you're out on bond, typically there are some stipulations involving drug testing. So you might have to go in once a month. You might have to go in every week, it just depends on the deal that was drawn up, the bond conditions, they call them. And they're different for everyone and every jurisdiction. So he gets caught with meth. They don't even revoke him. What system are we living in? And then yet you and I don't see a yellow line. This happened recently on the sidewalks, you know, where you can park. And I was about this. Actually, it was my friend, but I was with her. We just split the ticket. But she was about this much of her engine area, whatever, into that line. Like, not even her front wheels, barely. It was more her engine, the front part of her car. And it was like $300 or something. It was so ridiculous. It was ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. You know, parking and a no parking. And then we pay it. Maybe it was $150 and I paid $75. I can't remember. It was so ridiculous. That's what I can remember. And I was thinking to myself, We law-abiding citizens constantly are making sure we do everything right. We get our tax returns done. We abide by the law in the littlest things because we don't want to get in trouble. And then you have a guy like this who uses his device. It's a federal felony offense, and he gets 5 years probation. I'm just going to say this. If I'm the TMZ 12, I'm going to send 13, 14, 15. I'm just going to keep doing it. Because even if I get caught, it's not going to mean anything. And then, so he doesn't get revoked, meaning if you screw up on your bond, you're supposed to get revoked. In other words, they're supposed to put you back or put you in jail. That's a bond condition. So now if you don't, you've just made, in my opinion, a mockery of the system. You have now said the bond conditions, well, they're not really conditions. They're just possibilities. And it's really stunning to me. It really is that this occurred in this way. We'll see what happens. I mean, maybe he'll do something egregious. He's supposed to go to rehab. Now, I know a lot of people, I saw some people online saying, oh, you know, poor guy. You know, he's got a meth addiction. Listen, I've heard that for everything. Oh, my baby. Yeah, I left him in a car, but I've got an addiction problem. I mean, that actually happened. That's a case I'm thinking about. Actually, that one person wasn't meth. That was alcohol. Literally left them in the garage and they died. Substance abuse cannot, in my opinion, mitigate wrongdoing. It makes us understand that they weren't thinking clearly. But you can't mitigate it. In other words, you can't just say, okay, because you are a meth addict, it's okay to send harassing letters to the Guthrie family. That's my view on it. That's not the judge's view. And again, this isn't federal. It was funny because I was posting about this and somebody wrote, but Jen, Pima County is you know, corrupt and rotten and all the things. And I was like, no, this is a federal case. So I just wanted to make sure everybody, and I'm going to look in chat to see if there's any other questions, but it was a federal case, Tucson, Arizona, federal courthouse. Actually, his parents were caught on the outside. Let's take a look at this and talk about it on the other side.
Do you guys want to tell us what drugs he's going to be getting treatment for? I think I heard her say meth.
I'm going to start at the beginning, sorry.
This is Monica, News 4 Tucson. Do you think your son feels guilty for harassing the Guthrie family? Do you guys want to tell us what drugs he's going to be getting treatment for? I think I heard her say meth. Okay. Do you guys have a message for the Guthrie family?
Nope, no comment.
No? Okay. I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
I got to be honest. I would never want to be a reporter. I wouldn't. I mean, my hat goes off to all these reporters. It really does. But I would feel like a salesman. Like, you know, will you talk to me? Will you, you know, knocking? I just would feel so much like a salesman. But, you know, I respect what they do. I mean, it's amazing. Obviously, I work in this industry. But nevertheless, and this is why I say this about that, I do feel sorry for all these parents, right? You know, your son's a hot mess. He's extorting on the most famous case, missing case, you know, likely, arguably, in the country. And then you come out of the courthouse, you just got to be prepared for it because you're going to get swamped by these reporters because they want to see if you have something to say. But what I was kind of surprised, and I don't know if this surprised you, but wouldn't you think that the mother might, I don't know. This is what I just would have said when they said, do you have a message for the Guthries? I think I literally would have said, I am so sorry for what you're going through. Just something like that.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
But again, you know, it's not their fault. This is the actions of their son. Their son is absolutely a grown man and making all these horrible decisions. And, you know, he has a criminal record in the past. And it's very difficult, I think, you know, once you're down that road to recover. And, you know, I know substances can cause a lot of problems. Mental health can cause a lot of problems. But at the end of the day, do they know right from wrong? He knew right from wrong. He knew right from wrong. And he just wanted a quick buck. That's my opinion on it. I'm going to check comments now because I'm thinking there could be questions if I wasn't clear on anything. And I want to make sure I sort this out. I love this picture of Nancy, by the way. And I can just see her, if it was the 4th of July, that's why I chose this one, just saying, here's to 250 years. I mean, she just seemed like a joy and a fun-loving woman. And so that's why I chose this picture to keep up. Let's see here. Let me see. Let's see here. Let's see. Yes, as human beings. Okay. See, sorry, I'm just checking to see if there's any questions. Okay, Bias Bev's Cankles. This is a really good question here. Does a plea deal mean they have something to offer? No. Definitely not. The Bureau, and I'm glad you asked this question because it reminded me of something I wanted to say. In the federal government, almost all cases plead. We could look it up. I'm going to say 85 to 90% of cases plea. It's huge percentage because the evidence is so strong. I guarantee you this case was put together perfectly in terms of the digital trail, the evidence that led back to him. We saw a lot of it in the media, and I know there was a lot more. They were ready and prepared if they had to go to trial. And they put this information in these binders. The federal cases typically are airtight. And that's why people plead. Almost all federal cases plead. You can look it up. I think around 85%. It might be more. It might be a little less depending on the year. But that's why the big joke in the squad room was when somebody was going to trial, which I had 6 federal trials and huge ones, one with 10 defendants. They actually pled the day of trial, which is the worst, which is another thing I want to talk on. Do not think that the FBI agents that worked this case agreed with this plea deal. I've never agreed with one plea deal that the U.S. Attorney's Office did. Not one. Not one. I had a case, I called it the pillow pusher case. A woman, this is when I was working crime aboard aircraft after 9/11. This woman, executive, no children, you know, very businesslike, not married. She was on a business trip. And there was a child behind her that was screaming and crying, like all of us have experienced on a plane. And you can't get away from it. Even with headphones, you're going to hear it to some degree. But back then, they didn't have it really. I have these noise canceling, I think they're Bose, whatever. I can barely hear anything with those things on. And I always have them on when I'm traveling. But back then, and I'll tell you, she didn't have any fancy headphones. And she lost it. She took her pillow, jumped up, went to the seat behind her where the baby was, and she attempted to smother the baby. Literally tried to kill the baby. It took several people, passengers, to get her off of that baby. The mom was shocked. It was a mess. Like, she didn't just do it and then run away. No, she did it and just wouldn't stop attacking that poor baby. I was so mad when we pled that. Like I said, I have never had a case, never once, that I agreed with a plea deal. Because this is my point as an agent. We meticulously build these cases. We interview, like, just let's take that case because that's a perfect little teeny case, right? I have to interview everyone on that plane. I have to interview. Now, some of them tell me, I have no idea. But you still have to touch base with everybody because they could have been walking down the aisle. They could have been standing up stretching. They could have seen it. So I'm doing all of that. Obviously, the flight crew. Then I have to go back into her history. Got to pull. I got to see, did she have issues at work? Did she have issues with family? I got to interview them because I'm going to look for, if I can get it in, for 4B, something to show that she's done this before, that this wasn't just an accident, that she is unhinged and problematic. Obviously, she got off, and then she got something like this, 5 months probation, something like this. So mad. And I guarantee the agents that worked on the Kalela case, putting this case together, because it would have been easy, they're mad. They do not agree with the U.S. attorneys. That's been my experience. There is no agent that I've ever been around that came back to the squad area and goes, "Whoo, the U.S. attorney, guess what? They decided to plea out the case that I've worked on for a year, 6 months, whatever it was." Because we're ready to go. We want them to get the highest possible punishment allowed by law within the sentencing guidelines that the judge agrees with. I mean, ultimately, the judge has guidelines, but he can depart up, he can depart down. And just so you guys don't think I'm so tough, I just had a case in another jurisdiction. And in that case, I was working for the defense. Now, fortunately, when something comes my way, I can pick and choose. I can say, I don't believe in this case. I'm so sorry. I can't support you. I hope I can support you on another case. I can recommend these other experts, but I can't do that. And that's the majority of what I do. I think I have six right now. And I know I turned down probably five in the past 6-7 months. Because if I don't really believe in them, I'm not going to take them. I'm just too old and they're too hard. So in this particular case, I took this case because they had this guy as like some sort of, in my opinion, and I set this on the stand, like a Cali cartel member. It was so ridiculous when he was a lower level dealer. And all I'm saying is, let's just be fair with the truth of what his role was in the organization. And anyway, they downward departed on him. He was looking at life and they downward departed very significantly. And he was older too, I think 50 something. But nevertheless, I only bring this up to say that to me, you take the whole totality of the case. And in this case, there is no way you give this guy 5 years probation. You just can't do it for so many reasons. You just can't do it. And so I didn't want y'all to think that like law enforcement is behind these pleas. They happen all the time. You don't have to give anything. They do it because they want it off their docket. And remember how these attorneys, it's different from in the Bureau. We have statistics we keep. I don't know if you guys know that, but each agent, I have my stats. How many arrests have I done? How many convictions have I gotten? How many dismantlements have I done? How many disruptions have I done in terms of organized crime? My sources, there's these huge stats. How many seizures? And that is in large part what we're judged on, because you can see that. It's not subjective, it's objective. It's objective data. U.S. attorneys are judged on their ability to get convictions. Quick conviction, check mark, done. So U.S. attorneys, well, it's really not the U.S. attorneys. Those, although some of them actually try cases, but for the most part, they're more figureheads, meaning they're, you know, out there, you know, doing things for their organization, for their folks, but they're not in the courtroom anymore. And that's not in all cases, but in most cases, they're not doing anything like this. The assistant United States attorneys are the ones that do these cases. And the only reason I bring this up is I'm not trying to say anything negative and I love Philip Dubé. I was actually going to have him on today, but he's tied up. I want to get him back on. And I thought this would have been a perfect subject to talk about. But he's tied up. But as he well put, because we've had this conversation, he's like, Jen, can you imagine if our courts would be overloaded if we took every case to trial, and our prisons would be overloaded if everybody got a prison term? And, you know, I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm just saying this is wrong. The pillow pusher, that case was wrong. I don't ever know. I don't know if she ever did anything in her future, domestic violence. I have no idea. But that's just a case I thought of. That's just one of the cases I remember being really upset about, that we pled that case. Let me see. Just looking up here to see if there's anything else. That's mainly, I think there was one other thing besides. I thought some of you might wonder if the Bureau agents that worked that were in on the plea. No. This is something that is decided at the U.S. Attorney's Office. Look, once you put your case together, and we do what we call a pros memo, prosecution memorandum, but we call them pros memos, we bring that in, and you give it to your assigned AUSA, and hopefully you have a great relationship with them. And you can have a great relationship and disagree about things like this, you know, and then you're on to the next case. But they are fully responsible to the prosecutive decisions. They might, you know, listen a little bit to a victim. They might, you know, at least they want their agents to be on board with them for sure. But, this was so nice. Let me just throw this up. I saw it go by. But they're in charge. Just like the U.S. Attorney's Office doesn't get into the investigative piece. Now, that doesn't mean we go to them for our search warrants, we go to them for seizure warrants, we go to them for probable cause affidavits to have somebody arrested. We certainly always keep in the loop, but they don't get in our business as to how we're going to prosecute. Those are two different chefs. One is in the kitchen putting the case together, and then the other one takes over the kitchen, and they figure out how they are going to prosecute the case that has been put together. And those are distinct chefs. I wanted to come up here because I didn't even read Karen's. I put it up at the very beginning. I think she was the very first one, and she's so wonderful, Karen. Thank you. I'm going to just take a look and make sure you didn't have a question. I put it up at the beginning, right when I got on, before I even started talking. And then Sorry, click, 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 click. Here it is. Here it is, Karen. Thank you so much. Yes, the world is praying for her. I wanted to say this really quick, and then it's almost our time, but I wanted to say this, and isn't it terrible, or do you guys feel this way? Let me know in chat. But I just feel like every holiday that passes, obviously Mother's Day, but just Christmas, holidays, when you lose your mother, I've already expressed to you that I have lost mine. When you lose somebody close, your father, all of these holidays, each holiday is really tough. And every family is different. Some families, the 4th of July isn't a big deal. Some, it's a huge deal. We have these neighbors and they throw the hugest party three doors down or so. And it's a big party. It's a big deal. And they do this huge fireworks. It's really cool. Our family, that isn't that big of a deal. It's not one of the huge holidays we celebrate. But every family is different. And the first thing I wondered this morning was, I wondered what their memories of the 4th of July were, and how this must be so hard, whether it's St. Patty's Day or Valentine's Day, all the different holidays that come and go. I just wonder about that. And I was thinking how I think it's really hard on these families with each holiday that goes by. All right, everyone. I want to thank you all for being here on our 250th anniversary, 1776. It's just, I don't know about you all, but I just, when I hear the national anthem or God Bless America, all those, when I get chills with the whole thing, to think of our country. It's the best place. It's the best country. And I know we have so many from other countries. And so I'm not disparaging your country. I'm just saying how proud I am to be an American. All right, everyone. Till next time. May justice be served for Nancy Guthrie. I will definitely be seeing you all tomorrow again.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.